Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Welcome to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace in Europe. And this is now about the 12th of March. It's a very important date in European history. And it's a EU day to celebrate the accession of 3 new members to NATO. This happened in the year 99. In that important year, that important day, on the 12th of March 99, 3 members, Poland and Czech Republic and Hungary, they joined the Transatlantic Alliance and were then a full part of the defense community, of the defense alliance of NATO. This is really a historic thing, and it was all participants on that 12th of March 1999 were fully aware of the historic significance of that important date, of that important day, and also the significance of them bringing their 3 countries into the West and anchoring them firmly into the Western world. It cannot be, it's simply so important, yeah? And that I think it's worth to have a EU day for that one. It was only 3 countries. The other 7 countries, they needed more time and more courage from the American leadership, because it was unfortunate that the Slovak Republic was not completely ready because of the Mecha, this Russian proxy, who was until 98 still there. But the Slovaks came in 2004, and I've made a specific podcast about it. But the 12th of March, 99, imagine, the war in the Balkans, in the Kosovo Liberation War, was already in the negotiations in Rambouillet. It was a very decisive moment. Yeah? This was also the March when in Ukraine the opposition leader died in a deadly car accident. It was also the March and the events of this year, 99, which led to the rise of Putin to power. And it was the March where the long, confused and terrible destiny of the Polish people in the 20th century has come to a close, and they are finally secured in the Western Alliance by the help of America. And obviously all participants knew why they chose also the 12th of March, yeah? Because that was obviously the date when the Truman Doctrine was declared by President Truman in the year 1947. Also on the 12th of March. And the Truman Doctrine was declared in Washington. But the signing of the accession protocols to NATO for Poland and Hungary and the Czech Republic, this was signed in Independence, Missouri. You will ask me, where is Independence in Missouri? Obviously in Missouri. But this is the place of the birth, and also where is the presidential library of President Truman. So in no way that state was a coincidence, and also the place obviously was not a coincidence, where the 3 foreign minister and Madeleine Albright, the American foreign minister, secretary of state, and they have signed these protocols together as a sign to also make clear that the historic dimension of the Truman Doctrine and the NATO accession is very much connected. And here comes the thing about Yalta and the Cold War, and the peace and the crisis of 40 years in Europe, which happened after the Second World War, but also the question about the division of Europe for so long and the role of Poland. They were all coming to a close at this moment on the 12th of March in 99. And very much, never forget, the way it was handled, that Poland is such an important country, Poland, the attack on Poland was the start of the Second World War. This was the 1st of September, the attack by Nazi Germany on Poland. It was also the whole question of the liberation of Poland during World War II, the Warsaw Ghetto uprising of the Polish Home Army, and the Soviet Union standing idle by, seeing the Polish Home Army being crushed by the Nazi forces in 1944, while they were, and the Soviet forces were already quite close. It's also about the way Europe was divided after the Second World War, and obviously the frantic efforts, especially by the British, not to give half of Europe to the Soviets. The Soviets obviously thinking and having no intention to leave any of the places they liberated, occupied, any form of freedom. And they were sure, because the Soviet Union was an ideological empire, they wanted to impose their ideological, authoritarian, proletarian system in a way, in their way, probably to liberate the working classes, probably. But obviously, nobody in Eastern Europe, I wouldn't say nobody, but the majorities in all the countries rejected such a system, for sure, as the majorities in Russia have always rejected such a terrible dictatorship of the proletariat. And if there would not have been absolute strict violence, such a system could have never been imposed, neither in 1918 in the civil war in Russia, nor in any other of the countries which had the unfortunate situation that they were occupied by such a dictatorship after the World War II. And then it happened actually as it happened. The people were rejecting it during the elections in 1946, and that was too much in a way for the Soviet Union. And then in the elections of 1947 in January, they made a complete vote fraud, and they falsified the elections in such an obvious and outrageous way. And also they did a lot of violence, behaved brutally in their effort to control Poland and also Czech Republic and also Hungary. And obviously they were bent to take the power. And this was not what was agreed in Yalta. Remember, they will make a specific podcast about the percentage agreement. But it was very clear that Poland will have free elections while being militarily liberated and also secured by the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union itself has agreed on free elections. And anything else would have made any kind of deal in Yalta also very complicated. Because I repeat, the World War II was started with the Nazi aggression against Poland. And then world opinion to be presented with effect that after all this blood and pressure and treasure spent for the World War II, the result is a dictatorship in Poland, at that time from the Soviet variation, is of course, you know, that would have been unacceptable for the American leadership and for global world opinion. And so the Stalin agreed on Yeltsin, and it is not a surprise that the Polish leaders of Free Poland after 1990, but everybody else who was involved in that one, always saw it as a massive betrayal by the West of the Yalta promises. In fact, it has also to be evaluated, was it really a betrayal of the Polish people? In reality, the power trajectory of the West was never so strong as to risk a new war with the Soviet Union in 1946. Nor was it really realistic to have a military solution, a settlement with the Soviet Union, as some have thought about it. And in fact, the reality that they owned it by occupation and they had no intention to go was obviously, and that they made only the pretense of free elections, that was obviously not the American choice. It was insofar not a betrayal, because the Americans really were shocked by this blatant abuse of all kind of rejection of all kind of agreements which the Soviet Union did. And this is also very much the core of the Cold War. Obviously, there were other conflicts as well, because the Soviet Union was bent to take all the regions where it was, also Hungary, but that was a little bit later. The Czech coup was in 1948, but already there were massive manipulations of the system. And also, obviously, a key part was also the Greek Civil War and the communist uprising there against the government, and also the Strait Crisis of 1946. And all this culminated in the famous and world-defining speech of President Truman and the so-called Truman Doctrine on the 12th of March of 1947, which led then to epoch-changing events like the new Joint Chief of Staff Directive to allow German development, economic development, the Marshall Fund, and the formation of the OECD, the Council of Europe, NATO, and the European Union. I mean, it cannot be more important than that. And this was really epoch-changing day, the 12th of March of 1947. And obviously, it was also the 12th of March chosen for this reason, because everybody knew that membership in of Poland and the enlargement of NATO will also have consequences. It was not the only factor in this raging Russian civil war between the various factions which were backing Yeltsin in 96, and between the Democrats and the KGB and the oligarchs, and obviously on the other side the communists. But obviously it played a role that NATO was serious in enlarging. It was already, the decision was taken already in 97. And so also the opposition of Russia was fermenting. There is no doubt about it. But I would like to counsel for caution that we could have sacrificed Poland again for the sake of Russian appeasement. What kind of Europe would we be? What kind of West would that be, sacrificing Central Europeans again, like we sacrificed and did nothing when the Nazis and the Soviet Union have divided it in 1939? We should have done that again. I think it was never a realistic option, because it was these countries and they themselves, the Polish, the Czechs and the Hungarians, who really wanted it, yeah? Because they were 40 years under the Soviet occupation and they were seeing also the brutality. There was, of course, Budapest 56. Do you think anybody has forgotten the crimes of the Soviet butchers in October 56, where they were basically, this was not an economic liberal revolution or a conservative one or a national one. These were all socialists, but of a different kind than the Communist Party wanted. It was the same also in 68 in Poland, or in 53 in Eastern Germany. Or in Poland, there is quite a lot of revolutions. It's from time to time difficult, but there was one in 53, one in 70, one in 81. So they have basically a permanent effort of the Polish people to protest against their situation, that without their consent, they were forced to be in a Soviet proletarian dictatorship, imposed and secured and obviously imposed by Russian tanks. And when you see also the history of Poland, going back now long time, that Russian troops in Poland are not very popular, I think that can be concluded easily out of every single aspect of Russian history, of Polish history. So ultimately, I think that 12th of March is a really very historic day. We can be all be very proud that the thing, and again, see it from the side of history, that in 56, the Americans and the West could do nothing for the Hungarians who were crushed by tanks, nor in 68 in Prague, and during all these many revolutions which the Polish people did against the Soviet Union, there was no way that the West really could do something against the nuclear-armed Soviet Union and bent to impose its will on its kind of satellites or allies, I wouldn't say, because they never consented to any of that. They were just before trampled over by Nazi Germany, and then came the Soviet dictatorship, and they were actually wanting to be free independent nations. And this, for that they needed against a potential German aggression and also against Russian aggression, they obviously needed a big global power to secure them. And that they saw the United States as the only anchor and the only opportunity to be safe and secure, and NATO as the natural kind of alliance for them to join, is, I think, very logical and understandable out of the history and out of also the facts that they saw already what is coming, because they were all really informed about the 96 situation in Russia. They saw the 93 power struggle. They saw the collapse of the ruble and the consequent power struggle in Russia about the dominance of the ultimately resulting in 99 in Putin taking power. So they were simply much better informed what is the risk of in Russia and of a revisionist Russia asking again for dominance of its former colonies. And that's basically exactly what they all were aware about. And they were fast to look for a settlement inside the alliance, and they found it. They found it on the 12th of March, 99. And I think they have really developed enormously. And that Poland and Czech Republic and also Hungary is now so rich as they are and so successful as they are is an amazing success. Obviously, you know, when it comes to EU membership, it took another 5 years from that moment, 2004, but also the EU membership together with NATO membership, because basically it's one unit. It's basically the alliance of the West and the economic integration system of the West, and also now gradually the political unification system of the West built after the US model. That is obviously there is some counter reaction in Poland and Hungary for different reasons, in the kind of identity, a narrative kind of insecurity is also understandable to some extent, but it's also really very unhappy, especially about the Hungarians and their pro-Russian development under Orban since 2014 especially. He was also quick to be this typical Central European power and state, somehow dodging all the issues, getting from the West what the West gives and trying to get advantage from Russia as much as possible. The typical Tito-style balancing act, so common in Central Europe, and also always connected with the Russian energy pipelines, which are going through Hungary and Slovakia and Austria, and also benefiting from all things, and then building up a kind of controlled society again. It's when you see the spirit of the 12th of March of 99 and the heroes of Hungary, which opened and broke the Iron Curtain in the year 89 at the Gate of Freedom, and then you see this kind of policy, it's of course very, very sad decline. But nevertheless, Hungary is secure. It's in NATO. Even when it's a bit of an uneasy kind of member, and when it's also blocking Ukraine now, which I will never forgive Orban and his crownies, that they are even prohibit Ukraine to join NATO while vested in the power of being in that alliance, which they are just now 22 years, and then they abuse this power by blocking the next line of enlargement and other European nations that could be free and secure, and then the Hungarians meanly misled by Orban, work for their proxy master Putin by blocking the Ukrainians. That's very mean. In Poland, the situation is different. The Polish are strictly pro-Western, and they will also always stay like this. They see themselves as a competing strong power in Central Europe, and they know their historic situation and the fragility to the East, and they have also done significant support for Ukraine, I appreciate, but they could do more. They could be more European, adopt the euro, and therefore then showing Russia that we are much more united, and also on some of the other agenda items, they could really be more European, and this would help, and this would impress Putin, as the 12th of March 99 had certainly an impact as well, when on this historic date, the three Central European nations have joined NATO. And this day is absolutely a central day in European history, and I celebrate it for that. It should be the start, obviously, of next enlargement. I would like to be very clear that this is must continue. Ukraine should be the next Poland and be absolutely in line now together with Georgia, Moldova, with Kosovo and with Bosnia, and also hopefully Austria, Serbia, Finland, Sweden, Ireland, Cyprus and Malta to have a big enlargement round happening in 2024. Sure, all takes time, all costs money, countries have to be prepared, but also it's now absolutely time for the same courage that we had in 97 and then 99 when it was about completing the common house of Europe and when it was about the unity of Europe and also getting the past wrong right. Because in Yalta, it was promised freedom for all Europeans and some were left with the Soviets, like the Polish ultimately. And there is no reason to leave the Ukrainians under Russia today, similar like we had the courage to include Poland and some in Moscow were not happy with it. And we had then the courage to add 7 new countries. It's now time to complete Europe and the Western Alliance and get the neutrals in and get Ukraine in. Ukraine is absolutely a European country, beautiful and strong. Unfortunately, 2 regions occupied by Russia, so they cannot join. That's very sad. But Ukraine, free Ukraine, can exactly join as Poland did in 99. And you know, there will be also unhappiness in some quarters of Russian revanchism against this decision. But once the decision is taken, they will have to accept it. And the 40 million Poles will have shown how successful they can be. And the 40 million Ukrainians will also be very successful. And so will be the Moldovans and the Georgians. And I think the 12th of March is a day of joy. It's a day of jubilation. And it's a day for courage. It's also to show that this long-term mission, that the rejecting the suppression of Central and Eastern European nations by either the Nazis or the Soviets or anybody else from the present Russian leadership is completely unacceptable. And with the help of America and the wisdom of President Truman, I call for a new Truman doctrine, the Biden doctrine, announced on the 12th of March 2021, it's time that this doctrine will be clearly stated. The open house policy of NATO, that Bosnia can join already in 2021, but also free Ukraine, free Moldova, free Georgia can join the Great Alliance in the year 2024. And no Russian objection, no Chinese intervention can change that. And the countries want that. They have to go through the necessary reform. They will be assisted. But if they choose, they will be welcome. And that's basically also the task of NATO. In principle, it's that, to secure, and that was the mission from the start, yeah, to secure free Europe from the Russian aggression and from Russian domination, and to provide a stable institutional framework in military and civil cooperation here in Europe, where America is engaged, stays engaged permanently in order to avoid future wars in Europe between the European powers and between Russia. And that's the mission from the start, to reject Russian imperialism and Soviet imperialism in that day and allow the nations of Central and Eastern Europe a free choice of their alliance. If they choose, they will be supported, they will be protected as well, and they will also prosper, and the freedom will prevail in this region. And that's the doctrine of Truman, and that shall also be the Biden doctrine, that all these countries, when they choose to do, they will be also welcomed, and nobody will be sacrificed on the battlefield of appeasement in order to have a new compromise with Russia on the heads of people in Eastern Europe who have deserved European rights, European citizenship, and European freedoms as the Germans, as the Italians, as the Austrians, as the French. And nobody in Paris may somehow trade the freedom of the Georgians or of the Ukrainians in for an energy deal or for Nord Stream 2 or for any other short-term pecuniary advantage. And that's very important, I think. And that's the moral lesson out of the 12th of March, 47 and 99, and that American leadership for Europe is absolutely vital. It's crucial that we should not make any kind of compromises when it's about the backs of the Polish people. And so it's absolutely key to end Nord Stream 2 and also the Polish to show more solidarity, because their rejection of the euro is obviously a major problem, while also Ukraine is not adopting the euro. And that's a very big problem, because both nations in the euro would be a really strong signal towards their consumers and citizens, towards the West, where the future is, but also a clear signal to Russia that this neo-imperialist period of 20 years has failed and it's time for a free, federal, democratic Russia. That's, I think, absolutely time, and it will come, but it will come faster when we show more resolve and more courage, as we had and we have in 47 and all the 40 years in between, and again at 99, when at the 50th anniversary of NATO, and Poland, who was sacrificed in the beginning of the Cold War, or at least, you know, in a way, was occupied already by the Soviets, and they manipulated basically the situation for their advantage, and the Polish people were lost for another 40 years. And now the opportunity is to really have the safety and security of the Ukrainians in uttermost consideration, and also long-term secured by NATO membership. And nobody has a right to reject that. Once they want it, we should be all agreeing and make no more Bucharest kind of debacles leading to war. That would be a very, very tragic mistake. So the courage of the 12th of March and the heroes from Truman to Mrs. Albright, they should be honored, and they should be also celebrated each 12th of March. And this new Biden doctrine for NATO enlargement, and also for specifically sending invitation to all the EU neutrals who are hiding in the neutrality and doing their money laundering schemes and their moral neutralism and their anti-Americanism hidden under this neutral cover, they should be basically also invited directly by the American president. And all these Euro-sovereignists who unfortunately come up under the cover of President Macron should be reminded on the courage of the 12th of March, on the defense also of France, on the weakness and fragility of France as a European power unable to protect Eastern Europe, and on the fact that it is America which won the Cold War, and also America which is the key power in Europe, the key European power as well, to make sure that all the Central and Eastern European countries, of which there are many, because they are free. Because otherwise there would be just a few, and there would be a few empires crushing all these states, if not for NATO, if not for the Great Alliance and our European-American common system established since 47, starting in the Truman Doctrine, to contain hostile Soviet-Russian expansionism in Eastern Europe, at least where it was possible. I mean, tragic compromises had to be made, and it's good, it's historic that finally, after 52 years, basically, from 47 to 99, it was possible to get Poland into NATO, Czech Republic into NATO, and Hungary into NATO, and also then 7 more countries from Bulgaria to Estonia to get in NATO. And we shouldn't stop here. We have still so many beautiful countries who want to join, from Kosovo to Bosnia, from Ukraine to Georgia, Moldova, and also Austria, also Finland, also Sweden, also Ireland, also Malta, also Cyprus. Get them all in. Invite them. If some of them don't want in the first phase, there will be a second phase. And they will see that this unity makes us much stronger, and is also the security for peace, because there is no vacuum, there is no fragility, there is no weakness, There's clarity based on strength in unity, and this will secure the peace in Europe for generations and centuries to come. That's not only the hope, that's the logical consequence of what we're already doing since 47 and 49. It worked very nice, it worked very fine, it will work also in the future. So that's why I call the spirit of the Truman Doctrine, the spirit of a new Biden Doctrine, the spirit of this Atlantic Charter, which is the fundament of all our values, and the spirit of the 12th of March 1999, of the start of enlargement after the end of the Cold War. This was the right thing to do, and it stays today the right mission ahead. Please include Ukraine, Moldova, Georgia, Austria, Serbia, Kosovo, Cyprus, Malta, Finland, Sweden, Ireland in NATO by 2024. And that is the road to peace in Europe. Thanks a lot for listening.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.